Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Another blessed day in Christ Jesus. Once again, this is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I want to welcome you all that are listening to this broadcast from all parts of the world. I want to welcome you, Iraq. I want to welcome you, Canada. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast. And other countries that I've missed, I want to welcome you also to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GodsWordToMan@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know it's Saturday. To those of you that listen to other parts of the world, it may be Sunday morning or Sunday evening. But here in the United States on this day right here, Saturday, it's another heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them at this time. And we're once again grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of you who have tuned in right now to listen to the broadcast. And so while we are waiting for my brother to come on to head this off, once again, I just want to take this time to thank God for all of you, especially those who have been faithfully listening to us over these 3 years. Thank God for you. May the Lord continue to bless you, your families, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we had prayed last night, for those of you that's listening, hey, you may have been waiting, you know, for your unemployment, and it's been holed up and all this, and bills is packing up, I understand, or you have the needs, amen, for food and stuff like that. But we pray to God open the door. So just believe God for opening that door to providing for your needs, amen. He's going to cause that to come through. Rest assured, it is going to happen. Thank God for the precious word of the living God. I pray that those of you who have been off work from the coronavirus, you know, some of you, your jobs probably laid you off. I pray that you were spending this time to get to know Jesus, because it was opportunity also in this time we could take advantage of. In this time while we're at home, to get to know him. I hear, you know, some may complain of boredom and all that being around the house. And for the most part, I know that those who are complaining like that, something about spending time with Jesus is not registering on their mind. Amen. Now, one thing about it, don't get me wrong, sometimes you want to do other things. But I tell you, if you get wrapped up in Jesus enough, time will pass by. Amen. Praise be to God. Time's going to pass on, amen, and Jesus will keep you, amen, especially when he's dealing in your heart, in your spirit, especially when he's dealing with you through the scripture, through the word of God, he will keep you, amen. Praise be to God at this time. So we're very grateful unto the Lord. This time right now, people, is an opportunity for God to perform miracles. Have you ever thought about that? Well, yeah, this is the perfect time for him to do it. So in your prayer, cry out to the Lord, say, Lord, thank you for the miracle. Perform the miracle right now in the name of Jesus. This is the perfect opportunity, Lord, for you to do a miracle in my life, to do a miracle in my family's life during this particular crisis that's happening right now. This is a perfect time for you to do this miracle. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And just stand back and watch. Watch God perform and do this miracle. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the blessed word of God, because God's word is a blessing unto our lives and is something that we very much need. Amen. We need his word. Without his word, we can't make it. Amen. We don't stand a chance against the enemy without the word and authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us keep that in mind in this time, in this hour. And God is still God. You know, I was thinking the other day, and Lord was dealing with me, you know what, no matter how bad your circumstances is, looks, right, I'll put it that way, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what comes up, no matter how tough things are looking, how things appear to be and going, you know, do you ever think it never changes God? You know, we're subject to changing attitude. We may have something come up, disappointed us, hurt us, made a man, and we're changing attitude. You know, some people change and don't change back to right, okay? But these circumstances doesn't change God. You know, he's still God, still the same person, okay? You know, just like those persons that you went to school with now, that you're out of school, you say, hey, he or she know they different than what they was in school, okay? But see, God has said he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, okay? And he doesn't change, and circumstances doesn't change him. So we believe in God while the sun is shining. Guess what? We can believe God while it's raining. Amen? We can believe him to come through for us even at this time. It doesn't change him. You know, these things doesn't move him in a sense like it moves us. Now, we're subject to change, okay? We're subject to get wrapped up in things, and now we're upset, and we may become bitter and angry, you know, unleashing it, all that, a change spiritually per se, in our attitude, stuff like that. But God is the same all the way around. He doesn't change, and this thing does not move him to change. Amen? Amen. He's still the same God. You know, and I was thinking about that yesterday, and, you know, and it come to me, I said, you know, God, no matter what comes in our life, what storm rises, what crisis comes, it doesn't change you. You're still the same person that we knew before the crisis came, before the storm rose. You're still the same person. You know, it's not like with man. You know, some things happen in man's life, and you'll say, I don't know who you are anymore. You know, you didn't change. Well, that's one thing we can say about God. Of honesty, we could make that statement. I mean, no matter what happens, what has risen, what has come about, we don't have to worry about saying, God, I don't know who you are anymore. You've changed. Because this doesn't change. So, you know, why should we look at this time where things appear to be limited to say, well, hey, we can't ask God because, you know, they say it's a shortage of money. They say it's a shortage of this or that. We can't ask God. Why can't we? I mean, God, he's the way maker, you know, and we have to see him as the way maker in this time. And so we see God permitting we need to do during this time. So if you have it in your mind that it has changed God, then no, you would not ask him anything in faith. If you think that these circumstances now, or storms that arise, or crisis in your life, changes God, then no, you would not ask him in faith. You would not go to him. But if you believe that he's the same one that you knew before the crisis came, before the storm rose, if you believe that, then you will ask him in faith. Amen. And let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, brother. And to all the love, brethren, in every place. Shalom, shalom, Yeshua Mashiach is Lord. It's a great day. This is the day the Lord God has given us. I will rejoice. I will be exceedingly glad and rejoice in it. For unto him that is able, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do, what is he able to do? Exceeding abundance above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God in Christ in us through Jesus Christ. This is what he says in Psalms 34. He says, the angels of the Lord encamp round them that fear the Lord and deliver them. And 1 and 13, I think 14, the Hebrew says, now are they not all ministering spirits, speaking of his angels, who are to minister those of salvation? And Psalms 103 says, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. And so we are grateful today. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, talks about the angels always beholding the face of his little ones. Hallelujah. And Psalms 91, his angels catch thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone, who watches over thee, and for the release of his word. So we're grateful today for all the unmerited, unearned grace given us, that we again to speak and declare the goodness and the redemption help of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. So, we have a big advantage. We have the greatest advantage, those that are in Christ. We have the exceedingly great advantage in everything. For is it written, Jesus said, in Corinthians 1 and 57, who always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 and 14, who always calls us to triumph in Christ. And in the 8th chapter of Romans, in all of these things, we are more than a conqueror, 8:37 says. With all of these things that he named in that chapter that we face, we are more than a conqueror through him that loved us and ransomed his life for us. We are more. We are more than a conqueror of every storm of life, every mountain we face, every valley, every difficulty, every test, every trial, every suffering, every war we taste, every confrontation, every weakness, every failure. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For if Yahweh be for us, who then can overcome us? For if God be for us, who is sufficient to overtake us? If Jesus is the same yesterday, Hebrews 13:8-9, if Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if Jesus the risen Christ, the crucified risen Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we have a cause and a reason to rejoice and be glad in him, for him. For the saints in heaven are glorifying, magnifying, praising him. And the seraphims, the angels are flying, the seraphims will worship him day.
Well, we had a disconnect there. We're going to wait till my brother come back on. His call had dropped. We thank God for the brother. We thank God for giving the word of God. And he's giving the word today. And then plus, you know, he's praising God. So, you know, meantime, there's a problem with the airwaves, don't get me wrong. But sometimes that is demonic interference. And what he was speaking on, amen, you know, devil didn't want all that got out. You know, somebody may be listening. Like I said, you know, we see on the board here that it gives other listeners, even other countries that are listening in on the broadcast, and perhaps at this time and hour, you may be going through, and God is giving him that word to give you. And so the devil said, none of that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut you off. Hopefully I get you frustrated enough that you won't get back on. But as knowing Brother Lee, I am expecting him to come back on in a few minutes. Amen. So he's not going to give up. Thank God for him not giving up, not letting the devil have his heyday. Amen. And we thank God for our brother who is definitely bringing the word of the Lord today. Amen. They are miracles, people. They are miracles. You can expect a miracle from God today. This day and time, you can expect a miracle from God. Hallelujah. Remember, the circumstance doesn't change it. You know, many times I have to remind myself, there's times I forget that the circumstances doesn't change it. It doesn't change God. He's the same God that you knew before this crisis rose up. He's the same God you knew before that storm arose in your life, before that crisis arose in your life, before that problem happened in the marriage, before that problem happened on the job. He's the same God. He doesn't change. Okay? If these things change God, then guess what? We will be in a world of trouble. Okay? There's no hope. Okay? If it changed God to a point that it made him weak, you know, that he couldn't do nothing, we would be in trouble. I look at this time for God, hallelujah, to do a miracle right now, people. I look at it at this time for God's opportunity, you know. There's things that come up that gives him the opportunity to perform a miracle. Hallelujah. I believe this time right now is a golden opportunity for our God to perform a miracle. Petition the Lord for your miracle. Amen. Petition him for your miracle. I don't care what it is. It ain't got to be just money. Some of you listening need healing. Okay? Doctors have told you, say, hey, the medicine we give you, it only can treat you. It can't heal you. You know, that's all we can do. There ain't nothing else more we can do. Petition the Lord for your healing. Ask for that healing miracle right now. Come on, come on. Before the sickness hit you, he's the same God you knew before the sickness rose up. Before the pain was in the back, before the pain was in your neck, okay? Before all that hit, before the arthritis hit you. When you knew God before the arthritis hit you, he's still the same God. He has not changed. The arthritis doesn't change God, okay? The pain in the back doesn't change God. The sickness doesn't change him. Many times we forget and we don't go to God in the right way because we act as if this circumstances have changed him. So we may ask him, but we don't really ask him in faith. Because once again, we're feeling the circumstances and many times we lean into it having a rulership. Yeah, of course we may open our mouth to God. Maybe we will petition him, but not in the faith. Not in the faith. So this day is your opportunity, this time, to receive a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. I know the devil say he got you. You know, he doing this stuff now. He say he got you. But see, once again, he done messed up. You know, he done messed around with the wrong one. He messed around with a child of God. And see, God protects and stands for his children. Amen. He stands for his children. Hallelujah. So petition the Lord for your miracle today. Some of you, hallelujah. You know, hey, glory. You're in a certain situation right now. It seems like your hands are tied. Petition God for your miracle. Amen. Now I'm going to pass my brother back on here. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen.
We see you back. The devil told you, said, hey, You're talking too much. Somebody's getting help. And I can't have that. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to cut you off and hope I make you frustrated enough not to come back. But see, like I told the people on the broadcast, I'm not looking for that. My brother's going to be back in a few minutes because there ain't nowhere in the world he's going to sit up there and let no devil cut him off and cut him off too. Oh, devil, you done made it worse now. You're going to do some talking now.
Oh, my
Amen.
God, my God. I got my sword. My whole armor of God, let me put on my, before I start, brother, on this handmaiden's night, I take unto myself the helmet of salvation by faith.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I take and receive the righteousness of God, which is by faith, the shield of faith, to quench every fire of doubt of the wicked one, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the battle axe of the Lord.
Yes,
I'm going to go about with Holy Ghost truth, the gospel of peace and power in my feet, the blood of Jesus over me, and the
Amen.
Angel of the Lord at my side. And so I say, I glory and to him who's at the throne at the right hand, who's ever lived to intercede for us.
Amen.
So, no weapon formed against us, Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against us shall
Amen.
Not succeed and prosper. Every tongue of the wicked one that speak condemnation, we cast down. Every tongue of the enemy, we bind and cast down and give no place. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, to the pulling down
Amen.
Every stronghold, every hindering power of the enemy, and everything that seeks to come against the knowledge of the living God. And every wicked imagination we cast down by the word of God. We scatter the wicked one and release the blood and the sword, the weapons of our warfare. We release the axe, the spear of the Lord against the adversary. Let the angel of our deliverance rise, O Lord. Teaching our hands to walk, to fight, our fingers to fight. Release that the angels with swords rise up and scatter the wicked one.
Yes,
pierce
Lord.
Him and cut him asunder. Pursue him and slippery place it and drive him out in the name of Jesus. Let the curses of witches and warlocks by the shield of faith be reversed and be turned about.
Amen.
Let the angels of deliverance pursue them. Pursue
yes,
them
Lord.
As it is written. Let them be confounded. Let them be turned backwards. Let their curses
yes,
be reversed.
Lord.
Let
yes,
the word
Lord.
Of God prevail against the plan of the enemy. We command they hear the word of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. For they that be for us, as is written in Romans, are greater and mightier than he that be against us. For God has
Amen.
Not planned any defeats for us, nor any failures.
Yes,
but
Lord.
Thanks be to God, as is written in Ephesians 3, thanks be to living God, who
yes.
able to do exceeding abundance above all that we ask, according to our faith, and the power of Christ that worketh in us to victory. For he is my son, my shield, my rock, and my defense.
Yes, Lord.
Therefore no evil shall not come nigh my dwelling. Under his wings do I trust. Therefore, I am more than a conqueror, as Romans 8 said, in all of these things that come against the saints and the believers. And all of these things, the sword of the Lord, as for King David, against the Assyrians and the Canaanites. We are the seed of David by faith in Christ. And the sword of the mighty God of Jacob is released for our victory. And we declare it. And we proclaim it.
Yes, sir.
And we say so. No mountain, no valley, no desert, no storm, no plague, no disease, no
yes,
wind, sir. Nor storm, no army of man, no accident, no coincidence, no tornado, no earthquake, no sin curse shall not succeed, not prosper. For Jesus Christ nailed it to the tree and took it out of the way and spoiled principalities and power. We spoil principalities and power over this region by the
yes,
sword of the Lord. And let the angels of war, let the angels who encamp round of us to rise up and deliver.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus, for you're worthy. You're worthy.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy of glory. You are worthy, O Lamb of God. Thank you. You are worthy of all glory. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus. Amen. Well,
yes.
temporary interference,
mm-hmm.
I guess we call it a technology interference. I guess we can call it a technology devil interference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you have to kick him to the curb at times. You know how that is.
Oh, Well, you're about to do that in a minute.
Wow.
You're about to do that in a minute.
Listen, the Lord Jesus has given us, his saints, the big advantage. And he kept telling us in his word about we are more than a conqueror. in Romans 8. And he said, in all of these things, we are more than a conqueror. That sounds a license for us to have the victory. That sounds the right note, the rhythm to play. I will rejoice and be glad in him. Why? Because he has declared and he has proclaimed in his word. And we must blow the sound, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus and calls us to triumph in Christ Jesus. For he has planned no defeats, no failures for our lives. They may come, they may happen, but he has not planned and he has not purposed any over our lives. Thanks be to God. Our children happen to be blessed and sanctified because the faith of him that liveth, and even our neighbors will get blessed. So let thanks be to God. He overshadows them with the blessings that we have in our own lives. Thank you, Jesus. God is about to do strange things, Brother Nate. We're about to see some supernatural counteract intelligence. I call it God's counterintelligence against the enemy's plan. You know, the Lord, Elijah, the prophet of Elijah, he knew what the enemy was planning and warned the king of Israel what the devil was planning, and everything the devil would plan, Elijah would get it, and the angel of the Lord would tell him, and he would counteract, I call it counterintelligence. So we get the word of counterintelligence against what the plan is of the devil is trying to do, and we'd be waiting him with the sword and the weapons of our warfare and beat back the devil and put him on the run and crush him under his feet. It's time for us to stop running the other way and run to the devil and run to the wall and run through a troop and leap and run through and jump and run through the troop and leap over the wall. That was David saying. Run to the enemy. Run to the enemy with the sword. Resist the devil, draw nigh to God, and he will run from thee. So here we are today, chattering on the airwaves to our brothers in Turkey, Siam, and Guam, and Ceylon, and to Sudan, and into East, West, and Northern Africa, and to Egypt, and Ethiopia, and Libya. And we are touching the borders where great trouble and darkness is at. And we're releasing the sword of the God of Jacob and the God of King David. And we're releasing grace that is sufficient for those that are under the power of the oppressor. We're releasing the grace of Jesus Christ. Be blessed. Amen. So it's a wonderful day to bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord continually. I will praise the Lord in everything. You know, Psalm 34 gives us a key to thing. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continue to be in my mouth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the saints in their spirit and their faith every day and time they wake up, they bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continue to be in their mouth. Can you imagine your tongue or your heart, your spirit, as you walk along, as you go to work, as you get up, as you fix your breakfast, fix your car, do your shopping, your praises are continued in his mouth as well as in your heart. If we were to do that, I wonder whether any fear could get in. You think any fear could get in beyond that? Worry, doubt, anxiety could get into that?
No, I don't think it's going to get in there, brother. I don't think it's going to get in there. I don't think that's happening.
If we were to fill our mouth and our hearts continue, like he says, he said, this is something he tells us to do continually. There must be a reason why he said do it continually. I will bless the Lord, Psalm 34, at all times. His praises shall continue to be in my mouth. And the people that's going to hear this, they're going to be glad because something's going to happen to them. Just being around those people that's releasing. I shall bless the Lord at all times. Now, it didn't say good time, bad time, terrible time. It said, I will bless the Lord Jesus at all times. His praises. Now, it didn't say fear, worry, anxiety, trouble mind, but it said his praises shall proceed out of my heart, out of my mouth, continually. You know, one of the things that we have missed, brother, in the book of Jude and 1 Corinthians 14, about praying in tongues. You know, people don't talk about this higher level of praying. And one of the levels of praying is praying in the Spirit and praying with the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Jude said, building us up, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray with the Holy Ghost and in the Holy Ghost, you will build yourself up in the most holy name. Well, we ought to come near and see what the Lord says when he means that, praying in the Holy Ghost, sing in the Holy Ghost, sing with the Holy Ghost, praying with the Spirit, and then praying in the Spirit, and praying by the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we got three areas: praying in the Holy Ghost, praising God in the heavenly language. There's a language that's beyond the English, brother. There's a language that's beyond what we learn in this earth. There's another language that our spirit man learns. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. I like that, brother. That's a new level. And when the Holy Ghost and power come into you, that's one of the reasons why they spoke in another language that's beyond man ability. It was a supernatural language. The language under their Pentecost was a language they spoke on the earth by the Holy Ghost. But there's another language that they don't speak on the earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 about that this language from the Holy Spirit cannot be understood by the human understanding. It can only be interpreted by the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost often, as well as praising and singing in the Holy Spirit. That's praying in your prayer language, your heavenly language. And so many people have tried to make like this wasn't important. It's one of the gifts that God gave every born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believers to help to pray in that heavenly language beyond their English language or whatever language they're on the earth. There's another language in the Holy Spirit called the heavenly language. And it says, no man understand this language, but you're praying mysteries in the Holy Ghost. So sometimes you don't have to know the interpretation when you're praying. It's only when you need interpretation, when you speak into the congregation. When you speak in the congregation with a message, then you need interpretation, because you're speaking to Edify, so they don't understand what you're saying unless you interpret. But when you're praying when you're praying at home or praying in tongues or in the Holy Ghost, you don't need to interpret unless the Lord just give you interpretation, because you're praying mysteries in the Holy Ghost. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 said. So that's two purposes for praying in tongues. There's three praise. Building yourself, Jude said, building your spirit man up in the Holy Ghost. And we need to be built up every day and continue to be built up. And as we praise the Lord, we release something out of our mouth. When we praise God in the Spirit, there's something come out of your mouth that the devil is scared of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're connecting with heaven. Heaven is connecting with you. And you lose your fear. When you pray in the Holy Ghost and speak the words of God in truth and power, you lose fear, doubt, anxiety, and oppression. It goes. It can't stay. That's why David said, continue. What he said in 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, about praising God continually. I would praise the Lord continually. Must there be something in there? You know, there must be a reason why the devil don't want us to praise God in our spirit, silent walk, and praise him in with our loud voice. You know why the devil don't want you to praise God with a loud voice? He talks about speaking out vocally and loud through the scriptures, and a lot of religions don't want you to praise God in a loud voice. You know, people don't know why the devil do not want you to praise God vocally with a loud voice, as well as praise him quietly in your spirit. There is a reason for the devil do not want you to openly, honestly, sincerely from your spirit praise the Lord and worship him. You worship him quietly in your home or quietly on your bed, but there is a reason why he don't want you to praise him loud, with a loud voice.
Yeah.
Do you think it might break his eardrum or something?
Oh, yeah, it'll hurt him some kind of serious.
Wow. Amen. we're so glad this Handmaid's Night, because we speak to the women, the handmaiden, the women who do a lot of suffering and bear a lot of burdens around the world. And the Islam people in the Indonesia is the largest Islam nation, I think it is, Muslim. And India and in Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Iran. Did you know that one of the three wise men that came and all the way from the earth to find baby Jesus and they followed a star? Do you know one of the wise men was from Iran?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep. So Iran, y'all got a good thing. One of the wise men back over 2,000 and maybe 40 years ago came from Iran, and the other two men came from over near Ethiopia. And I ain't going to tell you the name of the third place the other third one came, but they came from the end, almost ends way back, and following the angel star to lead them to baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And they traveled hundreds of miles, maybe hundreds and hundreds of miles to get there, where the angel was leading them, where the baby Jesus, the star they were, was the angel of the Lord directing them where the baby Jesus was, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Now, the way they knew about this, you ask yourself, how did they, wise men on the other end, knew that a King of the Jews was going to be born? And how did they know to follow the angel of the star? Now, they did study the stars and stuff like that in those days, but the star that they followed was an angel. And the angel directed them, Shata Kapasata. So we don't have to wish them no horoscope and astrology now. We don't have to go there. That's paganism and heathenism. We don't worship stars, and we don't guide our life by those stars. That's demonic. Read Isaiah 48. It'll get you get understanding about that. So even though you may be following astrology, the horoscope every day, you know the Lord commanded us, and if Isaiah 48, not do, when you do that, you bring a curse upon you and your family. So when you get that horoscope and start following it, a curse is coming upon you because you're worshiping and going after a strange God. I know a lot of people are, I'm going to see what my horoscope says today and what the good is. I'm going to see my astrology. I'm following, child. It say what it say. Well, you're following a strange God, a demon God, a pagan God, a worship of a strange God. God told Israel not to do so. They already got the true living God. They don't need to follow the stars. They need to follow the one that made the stars. See, the problem about it, they want to follow the stars and the moon. What they need to do is follow the one that made the stars and the moon.
Amen.
Thank God. I thought I'd throw that in there, Brother Nate. The angel of the Lord guided these wise men. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, the angels of the Lord came upon shepherds in the field. In chapter 2, they announced, these angels in the heavens began to sing and announce that unto you in the city of David, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. I think it's Luke 2 and 9 and 11. The angels began to sing. So you see angels announcing his birth and singing. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
And you find angels participating, the angels of God, as messengers and singers and announcers. Good news. Then the chief angel, in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and chapter 1 of Matthew, the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph in a dream. Angels will speak to you in your dream. You can, in spiritual dreams and spiritual visions. Hallelujah. They speak all through the Bible. You see them speaking in dreams. And spoke to Joseph and said, take the little Jesus and go to Africa. Now, brother, have you ever thought about that? I was reading the scripture. Why is the Lord God telling Jacob, told Abraham, told Isaac, that Joseph all wind up in Africa?
Mm.
Now, I just thought I'd throw that in there, bro. Every time in the scripture, he said, go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is Africa. It's the land of the people of color. It just happened to be the people of color. I'm not trying to emphasize no color, but it happened to be Africa, as they have later named that continent, Africa. But it was called the land of Ham. And Egypt and Ethiopia and Libya and all those four nations was the land of Ham and the color. And so every time some problem or difficult or famine come, here come Abraham. The Lord said, go to Africa. Go to Egypt. Here come Isaac. Famine, trouble come. Go to Africa. Go to Egypt. Then Isaac, go to Africa. And then the Lord arranged for Joseph to be sold and go to Africa. Now, you said, why is all this thing continually going to Africa and to Egypt? Then the Lord Jesus got to take a trip to Africa, brother, when he's a little child. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and Mary and said, take the child to Africa. Herod is trying to kill him. And I will tell you when the time to return. So Jesus goes for a trip to Africa, to Egypt. Do you think that's kind of a phenomenon? It's strange?
Yeah, I see that in a plan too. Amen.
That's a plan. You got that right, brother. It was a plan and a purpose.
Okay.
No, he didn't say go to the land of the Philistines, the Syrians. Okay. He didn't say go to northern Syria or northern. He said go to Africa, Egypt. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Just make the devil mad, you know. Love to make the devil mad, brother. You know, I love to upset the devil, you know. He didn't say go to Europe, the Roman Empire, whatever, the Persian or the Babylonian. He could have said, I wonder, the Philistine, go to one of those lands. But every time he said, go to Africa. Now, it took me a while for the Lord to give me some understanding why he planned and purposed that. Why going to Egypt? I began to get some particles of truth revealed to me why, which I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to talk. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not going to talk too much about why they were a prisoner for over 300 years. Now, they were in Egypt for 430 years, but they were not a prisoner for 430 years. Okay. All right, go over that again. When they first 70 souls of Jacob went to Egypt, where his son Joseph was there, they were there for quite a while before they were put in slavery. They were not in slavery. They were not in slavery 450 years. They were there 450 years, but they were not in slavery for 450 years. He brought them out of Egypt, but they were not in slavery all that time. When another king arose after Joseph died, another pharaoh arose, and he began to enslave them. Now, there's a reason why they were enslaved. God is a just God. Jehovah is a just God, a righteous God. He always got an overriding plan. There was a reason why they were in there over 400 years. There also a reason why the blacks, Afro-Americans, was put in slavery for over 300 years in this country. Why that was suffered to happen. And I began to look at the scripture and want to know why these things happened. And what was the just reason why God permitted them? Because God has to give permission or allow certain things.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk about when I come up with, when I ask the Lord, I don't understand it. Why is it that they went to Africa, the European slave masters, to bring blacks to this country to help build this country? You know one of the reasons why they brought them? To build this country. Without the slavery of black people, this country would not be what it is. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I can't get off without making somebody mad, you know. Okay. Amen. You know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because now we're going to see where America is a melting pot. Isaiah 2 and Michael chapter 2, where America is the melting pot of the world. Now, the angels play a part in Daniel chapter 7. They are called watchers. Angels are called watchers. There's one place in the Bible where the angels are called watchers. They're called messengers, guardians, protectors, messengers, announcers, worshipers. They're called warfare, and they warfare. There's angels right now are warring for us. As we pray, there's angels warring. The only way you kept was alive today and made it through the storm, brother, the Lord released his angels to stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, he did. The only way I got through today and going through and fro, oh, by the way, I go out every day, you know. I'm sorry, I'm hard-headed. I go and take care of my business. Because, see, ain't no devil supposed to stop me from taking care of my business and God's business. I'm sorry about that. Because I said, my God is not going to be hindered. My God does his mission and his purpose not hindered by a pandemic. Those that own his mission, those that own his calling and on his direction, they're not supposed to be hindered by this. Ah, glory to God. I didn't say you're not supposed to obey the government to an extent. I said to a certain extent you're supposed to obey the government. I'm talking about the believers now. I'm talking about the saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled believers now. I'm not talking about the honorary people. There's a certain point that Timothy and Peter, that you would submit to the authority that God has put in nations and government. There's a certain point you're to obey. But then there's a certain point you have to go against them and not obey. You have to obey, like Peter said, when Peter says, they forbid Peter from preaching. And he went back out and preached, and they whooped him and put him in jail. So the day coming where you're going to be thrown in, you might throw it in jail right here in America for going and preaching God and obeying God. And it ain't far off. I said, it's not far off. Hallelujah. I said, right here in a Christian nation, America, the beautiful, the wonderful, God's blessed nation, the most blessed nation in the earth on the end time, Zion, that's coming soon. They've been working on this. That's why they're working to make laws to stop Christians from preaching the gospel of the Bible. They got laws now ready to enact because they don't want you to preach the gospel of Jesus. They want you to preach something else.
Right.
Another gospel. That's why they're working against Jesus. Put him out to school. They put a Bible reading. They put him out of the army. The chaplain can't pray in Jesus' name. The devil, you can't. Ten Commandments can't be on the federal buildings and courthouse. The Tenth Commandment, they're trying to get all that out. The devil's working day and night. And he has succeeded at a certain bend. He took prayer and the Bible out of that public education. And you see what happened when he took prayer and Bible reading and please religion and all that stuff out of the public? See what happened to the schools and education?
Right.
Well, if you live in a big city, you'll know. you will see, brother. The devil just took over the public schools. I mean, he just took over education. He almost took it, not completely over, but he made inroads. When they took Jesus out of the high schools and you couldn't mention Jesus, you couldn't read the Bible, you couldn't say prayers, or you couldn't say open prayers, you couldn't honor the Lord Jesus. But just what they did, Brother Nate. Now, you can honor, when you read the books, you can honor yoga, abortion, homosexual. You can even mention Islam, but you can't get into that Jesus stuff in Christianity.
Right.
I got to tell it. Brother Nate, that's my job to tell it, because that my job is to make people mad. I know they get mad at you, but my calling is still to stir up the pot and cry loud and spare not. Okay. So you ain't by yourself, brother. I'm not going to leave you with the tomato thrown at you, okay? Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, brother. I do. I appreciate
it. I thought you appreciate it. But when they throw the tomatoes, make sure you put them in a sack and save them for me, bro, because I love tomatoes.
I definitely do that because I sure don't like them. So I put it in the sack and give it to you.
Tomatoes, do you know tomatoes have power? They call a cyst in them to stop cancer, to help destroy cancer in your body. See, God put healing in the plants and the vegetables and the other earth. Like he said at the beginning, every herb, everything is for your good and for your health. And tomatoes and certain fruits are for to counteract disease in your body and help your immune system to be cleansed. Ain't our God a smart God? A wise God?
Oh, you know? Oh, yeah. You just messed up some doctors and pharmacists' plans now.
I'm sorry about that. God made the doctor. He gave us the medical doctor. So I love them. They saved many lives. So God gave us medicine. But at a higher level, he gave us healing in other areas that are a higher level. See, each level of healing that he gave us is on a different heaven level. And the greatest level is the spiritual healing and deliverance when the Lord do it through faith and the power of God. That's the highest level when he healed and delivered people at that level. But he gave us the doctors. And thank God that he gave doctors insight to save many lives and help people be well. Now, they are limited, of course. That's something they can't come. They say, well, that's all we could do. See, the doctors are confounded by this pandemic. If they had got on their knees, brother, if everybody had got on their knees and began to fast and pray and inquire about the Lord, they would got an answer to this pandemic needs. But you know what they're doing as a nation, which they're looking to the doctors alone and to the government. Now, that's okay to a certain point because we give these institutions to help people. But this is what they're going to have to learn. I don't want to say this. If they don't turn to Jesus immediately and cry out to him first, hallelujah, and submit to him, and say, you are my healer, my deliverer, I got a pen. I'm going to thank God for the doctors. I'm going to go to the doctor and take theirs, but I can't put all my trust in them because they're limited. But you're the one that gives life. Now, Jesus said, I am the living waters. I am the bread of life. So therefore, when you push Jesus aside and try to depend on medicine alone, you might come short. I said, you might come short, brother.
Yeah.
Now, the tomatoes and the cucumbers and all of these fruits have a healing quality. You know that cabbage heals ulcers. And raw cabbage cleanses cancer too. It cleanses ulcers. See, all these in their natural state, all these fruits in their natural state that have, I'm not talking about when put all this poison on the ground, all this stuff on the ground and all this other stuff in the fruit that gets into your body called cancer. See, you know what you get all of this cancer from? From the stuff they putting on, giving the animals and what they putting on the fruits to make it grow. I just thought I'd throw that in there, Brother Nate. I didn't want to leave it out. You know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Lord began to deal with me years ago when I was seeking him, fasting and praying, and why all of the sickness and disease was coming up on the cities and coming up on the saints just like it's coming up on the sinners. And they were dying before their time. So I'm sitting in this chair praying and fasting, and I'm sitting in this grandmother's chair like I usually do, sit and pray and talk to the Lord in my early beginning of my days, and I began to fast and look at the word. He began to reveal to me why the saints were getting sick with the same disease the sinners were. Okay. Enough of that, because, you know, they don't like for you to talk about that too much, okay? All right? And as I'm sitting there that night, he revealed to me that the saints died. They may go to heaven, but their life is cut short, and why even the saints' life was cut short. And I saw it as I sat and prayed, hallelujah. Now, I don't need no fame. I'm just a servant of Christ.
Amen.
And you know, Brother Nate, I'm aware that I blow the trumpet loud and Egypt, and that some people get offended. I know that. But you know, many people hated and was offended at Jesus' word. Do you know they killed him because of his word, Jesus, what he taught? Do you know what they killed him for? What he said and what he done. Do you know why they killed John the Baptist? He cried out against the priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, and then he cried out to the king. Now, we don't have no prophets that can stand in the streets and cry out against the president or the mayor, the governor, the senator, brother. We don't see them. All they talk about, you can get a bigger car and a bigger house and a fur coat and a ring. I ain't heard nothing, brother. You think you heard me out there?
Oh, they heard you.
Now,
they heard you.
Now, I want to ask you this, and I'm not trying to be cynical. Please forgive me. I'm not trying to make myself. Have you asked yourself why all these prophets we got in the land and all these ministers, great men and women, God, which we have quite a few, why it was not given to them about this pandemic, virus 19? Do you know why it was not given to many of them? And it sneaked up on us?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what the Bible says? In the 18th chapter of Genesis, and this is a principle that we need to understand about covenant. God makes a covenant with man in the earth. And the covenant he made that man has authority and dominion in the earth. So whenever the Lord want to do anything in the earth, whenever he comes into the earth, he has to consult with man. I didn't say, now the people understand. Why? Because he made a covenant with them that you have dominion and authority in the earth. So when he comes into the earth, he has to come by prayer or invitation. Do you know when the Lord works in the earth, most times he has to be by us inviting him to prayer and reminding him of his covenant. Now, I didn't say he can't sovereignly do things, but he has to obey his covenant that he made with man. And so when he comes to do anything on earth, he has, because God is a God of just protocol. Man has dominion and authority I have given to you, so I got to go by protocol. That's why when Abraham began to pray, the Lord says to Abraham in the 18th chapter, Abraham, I can't do this without telling you. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, shall I not do, and remember what the Lord said, shall I not tell or inform Abraham what I'm about to do in the earth, since he's my man in the earth, and I made a covenant with him, and I can't do anything in the earth unless I inform him or tell him. And Abraham says, Lord, I would intercede for this ungodly nation called Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was not an Israelite nation, brother. This is what you got to understand. And this is a type and shadow for Abraham, who is a special man of faith, interceding for a people that's not of Israel.
Right.
They are not covenant people. They are not his chosen. They are heathens and pagans. I said they're heathen and pagans.
Amen.
Now, you know what? America has taken on a heathen and pagan philosophy teaching, which is coming from the leftists, the liberals, the socialists. Shall I go on?
No, I think you got to steam me enough, brother.
I don't steam the pot enough. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. These people who got these political parties call themselves progress and moderate and all this stuff they hide behind, and even some of the Republicans are just as bad as the liberal, progressive, and socialist. I'm uncovering some of the Republicans now because they say they hide behind their stuff too real good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's enough. And we're glad for the handmaid tonight. And the angel of the Lord is going to work mightily in helping us to progress in the plan of God. So we're not going to pray to angels. We just want to know that their purpose of the Lord sending them and aiding us and getting us, protecting us to take the gospel. Now, we're going to need much protection in these last days. From the day.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to need much protection as we go to promote the gospel. Because remember what it says in Message 80, what, 80? The Satan knows his time is short. Revelation 12, Satan knows the timetable. Now, he don't know exactly when Jesus is coming. The devil don't know exactly when Jesus is coming, but he know when he's nearing to come, just like we know. He don't know the day, the hour, he don't know exactly. That's not given the devil. Even the angels don't know the day or the hour. Even okay. The Son of Man don't know the day or hour. Now, get this. Now, this is going to shock everybody. Should I say this? What the scripture says? It says it in Matthew and in Mark or Luke. No man, no flesh and blood, nor the angels, not any of the angels, neither the Son of Man know the day, the very day and hour that the Son of Man coming.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
See, the scriptures don't lie. It says what it says. Maybe you don't read them, you won't know. So I advise everybody to read. Now, if you can't read, I understand everybody didn't get a chance to read. But there is a way in every almost part of the world you can get a tape. You can get, they got a way now, if you don't even read, brother, in certain lands that don't speak our language, the gospel can be given to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I support,
amen.
And I support the instrument that many people in foreign lands can listen to the gospel. They got a machine, a tape now where they can listen to in their own language. Thank God.
Amen. Brother, let's welcome Brother Emmanuel Murphy on. God bless you, Brother Emmanuel. How you doing?
Greetings, brothers. Greetings and love. And
God bless.
Thank God for each and every one of you, everybody that's listening.
Amen. Oh, greetings, dear brother. You've been doing his exercise, brother. He's been getting there, eating his cucumbers and aloe vera, and been doing his goodies. Thank God.
Amen. Keep
Amen.
Myself fortified, brother. Yes, sir.
Brother, thank you. You know, here's the funny thing. Us Americans think that God only speaks English. You know, I don't know why we get this idea that God is an American. But
you can speak any language, brother, any language.
Well, we got the idea that we're a monopoly. Well, he's an English speaker. And so because we speak English, so we think God is bound by English. And there are all the other nations of the world. thousands of them speak different languages than ever. And we got in Hebrew. You know, the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, at the beginning, they spoke Hebrew. Now they speak all kind of languages because they've been, assimilated into many nations. So in Greek and all the common Latin and Aramaic. And so, but in the beginning, they only spoke that language of Hebrew. And so we get the idea, since America has propped up being the greatest nation, and English is the most prominently spoken language probably in the known world, that God only speaks English. And so I got a little shock for you. He's God is greater than Santa Claus.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I used to wonder when Santa Claus come down the chimney, and I was trying to figure out when I was a little kid, about 4 or 5 years old, how he got down the chimney. And I remember I was about 4 years old, and we lived on a farm, and we had a fireplace. And I was wondering, how was he going to get to that fireplace and get through that fire to bring me my toy? I was about four years old. And I was trying to figure this out. And next thing I started to figure out, how did he know how to speak all these different languages since he's going all the world? You know. And I finally came to the conclusion that at 5 years old that Satan was not bringing the Torah. You know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This is a glorious day. So, have everybody got their wife? Did you kiss your wife and hug her and appreciate her and your kids and your people and let her know how precious they are?
Amen. Brother, you know what? I believe our brother, too, has a testimony he wants to share with us. Brother Manny, amen.
All amen. Right. You have a you have the testimony, too,
yeah,
Brother Nate.
Just,
okay, go ahead.
I just have a few updates. It's first I want to start with the God's Word to Man broadcast Facebook page and the work that we've been doing with the boosting, brother. So far, your last spiritual adultery broadcast has rendered looks like it's reached over 26,000 people, and over 8,700 people actually viewed the video. We also inserted the link to the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and the numbers there are starting to look very promising as well. So I just want to say that that part of the work that we're doing with the boosting and with the social media, it is working. We've gone from over 200 people following the page to over 2,000 in a week's time. So we have 2,000 people worldwide following the page, and we are getting a lot of traffic on that page. So I just wanted to, you know, for all of those who send in money to us for this broadcast, I like to give them some feedback behind what we're doing, the seeds that they're planting. You know, it's not going unnoticed. It's very much appreciated, and we are putting things to good work here on the broadcast. So I just wanted to give that update. But my testimony, I just want to say that more now than ever before, it is really impressed upon me that we have to start putting aside our petty differences and coming together with one common goal, which is to promote the gospel, to get as many eyes and ears on this content, on God's Word to Man, as we possibly can, because time is really short for a lot of people. I had a young man I played basketball with in high school who was 2 years younger than me. He really looked up to me coming up. I used to run into him from time to time. And so a couple years ago, I ran into him. You know, he introduced me to his son, and he still had that same gleam in his eye when he looked at me, because I was an upperclassman and he was a lower classman. And they really admired me, not necessarily because of my basketball prowess, but because, you know, just a little something different about me. You know, I was always the nice guy, always, you know, the gentleman. And a lot of guys, even now as we're in our 40s, they remember that person and they respond very well to it. And so I thank God for that. But last year, I hadn't heard anything or seen anything about the young man. And so I went to his page and saw that somebody posted a picture of him in the hospital. And he went in last April for something very routine. He felt short of breath and he was having trouble with his respiratory system. And that led to him having multiple surgeries and being in a coma because of an infection, a virus of some sort that he had. And I'm thinking now that it probably was the coronavirus even back then, but they just didn't know what they were dealing with. And so after spending some time in the hospital, I noticed this picture on Christmas of last year. I was very taken back by it and shocked, because I tend not to even keep up with a lot of people on Facebook if it doesn't have anything to do with the broadcast. And God put it on my heart to reach out to him and to try to lead him to the Lord, because he just looked like he was near death's door. I mean, he had all these tubes coming out of him, and it just really looked bad. And I just prayed over my message I sent him. I wasn't going to send the message, because you never know how people are going to receive these things. You don't know what type of spiritual lifestyle they have, what religion or background they have. And I felt a little hesitant, but something pushed me to do it anyway. And so I sent him a message. I say, listen, I don't know what you believe. I don't know what you're going through right now, but you know I care about you. And I went on to, you know, walk him through. I actually wrote down the quote-unquote sinner's prayer. I know that's what they call it, but it's really a roadmap to salvation, saying that prayer and repenting of your sins and asking God to come into his life and create a miracle in his life. And it, although things may look bad now, but if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, you can't help but to come out and win. That's what the Bible says. In the end, he sets it up for us to win no matter what happens. And so I walked him through that prayer, and he told me, he wrote me back, and he said, thank you so much. You know, I got it. I was able to read it, and I really appreciate it because I needed it. And so fast forward a couple of months, he ended up getting out of the hospital, like around February or March or something. And everybody thought everything was okay. And then this morning, I went on to Facebook to check out the broadcast and everything. And all up and down my timeline, they were just saying, rest in peace to this guy. The guy passed today. And I tell that long story. I know it's a long story, but I say that if God is telling you to witness to somebody or to say something to somebody, just say it. It doesn't matter how they receive it. It doesn't matter if they reject it, if they curse you out and say they never want to talk to you again. Just say it, because I would feel so bad right now, sick to my stomach, had I not sent that message and he passed away today. And I'm so glad that I sent that message. And I don't know if he continued on living his life for God, or I don't know after praying that prayer and reading that if he actually accepted Jesus, but at least I sent it.
Yeah.
And today was more of a wake-up call. It was more than just a wake-up call. It was say, hey, you need to get on your business. You need to do everything that you can do. And don't waste time. Don't be slowful. Don't harden your heart towards your brothers or your sisters because y'all have a disagreement or you get into an argument or you don't see eye to eye on some things. You know, that's okay. At the end of the day, we still have one goal together. And I just want to share that with everybody. Don't wait. If God is telling you to speak to someone, I'm going to make it my business to witness to at least one person a day. I know that's a low goal. When you think about all the work that the brothers and sisters have put in over the years, but how many of us say, I'm going to witness to one person a day about Jesus? You know, and so I just wanted to share that with everybody. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's a timely and necessary word, and also a very important for every believer in Christ to be aware of that, their prime goal and prime purpose of life. So, you know, that's really true. Really accurate. I would tell people that says, make a goal, say, I'm going to witness to everyone once a day. I'm going to witness to at least one or two people I come in contact or pass by to give them a chance for life. And I used to try to encourage people to do that. And then I said, move it up. I said, when I started with the work of the Lord, I would have to, when I first started, I had this urgency to witness it to three or four houses every day on the way to work. I had this thing on my way to work when I walked in Ford City. And before I would go to after my work, I would say, I'm going to make it my business to be reached three or four houses just face-to-face, door-to-door, to say something to Christ. And so whatever chance and opportunity you get, let your light shine in their darkness. And so that's a great, important message you give, brother. It's very, very important. Very important.
Amen.
Very needful and timely at this hour. To focus on the Christians, we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. That doesn't hinder us. Even Apostle Paul did not see exactly on eye to eye on everything. And that may not But do not miss the value of the most important score of the gospel. Christ came to redeem and save. If you don't get any other message or any other point, that's the core of the message of the gospel and why we exist. Amen. So thank God for that. Quite true. Hallelujah. So that was an important word, testimony to people. We all have a purpose, and when God awakes us to the most important part of our purpose as being believers, and, you know, it happened to me several times when I failed to witness to a person when I was prompted. And you're going to make mistakes, and some of them is going to be some difficult mistakes and for you to live with, but God's grace and mercy and kindness teaches us the importance of healing, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I remember it happened to me once when I first started with the Lord. The Lord said, go around the corner and warn Mr. So-and-so. If I said, what? You think I'm going to warn that man? And man, curse me out and call me all kind of name. And so by being young, inexperienced, and the fear of the Lord has not settled into me, it was a valuable lesson. And he said, go warn him today. And Mr. So-and-so, and he's an awesome man. He's right around the corner. And I had just started with the Lord. I'm a novice in the Lord. And this man, I know he got a big mouth. He cursed you out. He's an awesome man. I ain't going to tell that man. Until I learned the real purpose. When I didn't go warn him, meet him that day, I think right after that, he had a heart attack and stroke because his wife knew my grandmother. And I heard, oh, my God, just give me another chance. Give me a chance. Don't let him die, Lord. Please, 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 please don't let him die. Just, I don't want the man's blood on my hand. Just give me another chance. So he didn't die. I said, whoa, you told me a valuable. I don't care what people say. They can curse me out. They can look at me funny. And they can do it. I'm going to tell them. And they can mock me. They can whatever they want. I'm going to have enough love and grace. I'm going to tell them. They can reject me, my word. It doesn't make any difference. I want to be free of the blood of all men. Be free. And this is why he has this freedom of knowing that he obeyed and gave this man a chance to have life as his friend. Amen. So that's is a reminder to every born-again believer in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, you know, Brother Nate, I was, when you told me, it was given to me that this, I said, I don't worry about what, concern myself about things because they not, the things don't move, things like you want them, you know, things don't move as quick you want. I don't concern myself with that because your faith has to look beyond that, the immediate, the things that happen. So I knew that the time will come that your broadcast is going to go into all the world. And the next last year, when I was thinking about it, I said, Lord, let it go. Let a movement come that it will go. So I don't get distressed because things don't move quickly. Like, see, a lot of people get upset. Well, this is not happening. Well, that's because you can't see or discern. You only see the moment. You only see right. The now. You can't see what God is going to do unless you're in the spirit or what he's planning right. to do. What he's about to bring forth. And so your faith has to take beyond the now circumstances. So I knew that you were going to have to get on actually broadcasting beyond the broadcast into the video, and that it was going to spread, and it's going to go further than this. And we thank God for the glory. And so and when you're faithful and true and keep pressing forward, and don't let discouragement or distress or what people say or the devil's attack or people don't stand with you, press forward and obey. And you will see what the Lord will do with faithfulness unto him. So thank God. And brother, we're going to be surprised where this is going to lead and in the areas where it's going to open up, where they're going to hear from this. Broadcast started out, and You know how we want everything to burst forth immediately, Brother Nate? You know how us human beings are?
Right.
I call human beings are instant coffee. Most of them are instant coffee. Yes, we are all human. We want everything to be instant, miraculous, explosive now. That's just how most human beings are. Most human beings are. If you're going to work for God, you got to have great patience. If you don't learn patience, brother, you won't last. You will not make it in patience. You will not endure because the test will come to you. Still will you hold fast the confession of your faith and wait and believe God still.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you will never get to the joint unless you learn patience. Romans 5. Patience work is what? If you never learn the patience of God, you won't make it. And most human beings like us, when I started out with the Lord, I couldn't wait. The Lord was moving too slow, and why are you taking your time, Lord? Or why are you slow poking, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know. And you know what the Lord told me? I'm down and I'm hitting these houses going to work by 8:10. I said, Lord, I'm not doing enough. He says, you just do what I tell you to do, leave the rest up to me.
Amen.
And don't worry about the part. And he said, don't worry about what you can't do. All I want you to do is what I tell you to do.
Amen. Amen.
I will take care of the rest.
We got a little under 8 minutes, brother, and I want to welcome all
okay,
the
dear sisters.
Here. God bless you, sisters. How y'all doing?
Amen. God bless the Lord, brother. Thank God for you. Amen.
Use the time, sisters.
Okay. I thank the Lord for the words that went forth on tonight, and I was just listening in and listening, you know, at the testimonies and at the word. And, you know, and about the day and the time, you know, that we are living in. And just like I shared this word here on the prayer line last night, and I just want to read a little bit because, you know, I believe this is a great day and a great time, and that the Lord is going to really use his people to reach out, you know, to the people. And, you know, and give them a chance that they might be saved and that he's going to send forth a great revival in the land. And, you know, and
Amen.
I just truly thank the Lord Jesus for his word. And I just want to read just a few little verses. I'm going to read them in a hurry so Sister Anderson can talk. It's Joel, the second chapter. And it said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the habitations of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is now at hand. And then I'm going to go over here to the 12th verse and say, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with moaning, and rent your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will turn and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and all those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And, you know, I just truly thank the Lord, you know, for his word, you know, that have went forth
in
great testimony. Amen.
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 Yes. Well, I thank and I praise the Lord, and I'm going to make this quick. I know the time is short, but I thank and praise the Lord and bear witness with Brother Emmanuel. I just thank and praise the Lord because, you know, the Lord had dealt with me over, it's been over a few years, but when we've been where we live now, we've been here almost, matter of fact, February, matter of fact, this past February was 30 years. And I just thank and I praise the Lord.
Wow.
And I just want to say when we moved here, it was like I have no respect of person, but we were the only blacks and we still are, you know, in this round right in this little vicinity. And I just thank and I praise the Lord because the people around us when we first moved here, they would do little things to us. Like I remember they would somebody had some cooked spaghetti. They pulled it up on the hood of the car. And I do like flowers, and they would just tear my flowers down just to be mischief and things like that. But the Lord had given it to me, and where we live, it's like a, they call it a street, but I call it a little driveway that goes down behind us. There are a couple of houses behind us, and the Lord has given it to me, you know, to, you know, witness to the people around us. And I thank
Amen.
God for it because, you know, I didn't do it, and it was so heavy. It was a burden on me because I didn't do it. And one of the people that live near us, they live down and around us. I would still say that man is so mean. That man is so mean. I mean, he just you know do little mischievous things like you know to us. But I thank and I praise the Lord because then it started out where one man behind us, him and his wife, and they never would, real, people around here really didn't do a lot of talking to us. Matter of fact, they would talk to Reuben more than they talked to me. But the guy, he would come over, the guy that lived behind us, he would come over, and he would always talk to me when he would see me outside. And I did not know that this man was sick. And I just think and I praise the Lord because Reuben would, you know, talk to him and ask his wife about him. And I don't know what it was about her that she just would not talk to me. But I thank and I praise the Lord because we started, I had been talking to him and talking to her, you know. And actually, you know, the word is good when the Lord say when the people look for, you know, the people be looking for an example, a standard. That's what the word said, a standard. Let it be found among you. And I'm one that I say, I don't care when, where, you know, how often you see me. I'm always the same. When I come in and out of my house, you see me coming in and out, I'm the same. I never change my, you know, even my way of my dress, you know. I might wear my dresses long and I might wear them below my knees, but for me, my countenance, my personality, I never change. And just asking, his name was Tom, about him. And so my husband came and he told me one day, he said, I heard that Tom was sick. And I didn't even know he was sick. And I would pray for them and I had been, you know, like talking to them, you know. And then my husband had asked me, had I seen him? And I said, no, I haven't seen him. So my husband asked his wife about him. And when he asked him, she told him the same day he asked her, said, oh, we just had his funeral today. And, you know, it was like, oh, my God, you know. And so it's like when the Lord give you something, I agree with Brother Emmanuel, you better do it because you don't even know, you know, just like Joseph when his brother sold him out in Egypt. They could not see the end of what was going on. They didn't mm-hmm. see what was going on. And the neighbor next door to us, she was the same way. She was quiet. She would speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they didn't do a lot of talking. And we had missed her. And we started, you know, got concerned and was asking about her because we were both working and we would be in and out. And coming to find out that she died. And the lady across the street, you know, it's like, I mean, her son, he would come over, he would shovel the snow, he would cut the grass, and he would do things. And we had stopped my husband, and I started, you know, saying one day that he must be sick because he was so thin and, you know, like losing weight and going on. And so he told us, he said, him and his mother were so close, it just did something to him when she died. And, I mean, people just around us just was dying. And now the guy behind us that
we're
I see.
We're near the end, sister.
Sir?
We're near the end.
Yes, sir. All right.
We're near the end.
God and Brother Emmanuel, thank God for you. Do what the Lord say do. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Thank God for all of you that have been listening. Don't forget another God's Word Man broadcast. The Lord say the same. Come on tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, that's for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Brother Murphy, Sister Tig, Sister Anderson. We love y'all. God bless you. God keep you.
Amen. God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless. God bless. God bless.